The Agriculture Department's Food and Nutrition Service relies on state agencies to detect and stop fraud in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. And that's the problem. States don't have all the people and money required to fully monitor their SNAP programs, and USDA doesn't have what it takes to watch the states. For more, Kay Brown, Director of Education, Workforce and Income Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Ms. Brown, great to have you back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Let's talk about the SNAP program writ large for a moment. This is a program that has absolutely ballooned greatly in recent years, isn't it?
It has. In 2007, it served about 23 million people and cost us about $33 billion. And in 2015, it served more than 45 million people, and the cost was $74 billion.
Wow. Is that a result of state policy or federal policy?
Well, this program reacts to changes in the economy and changes in unemployment. So most of the growth came after the recession.
The way it works is that the states administer SNAP through their own agencies, and it comes essentially as whatever they bill the federal government for in their states, correct?
Yes. The federal government actually incurs 100% of the cost of the benefits, and then they share the cost of administering the program about 50-50 with the states.
And do we know the total level of fraud that occurs in the food stamp program?
We don't. USDA has a measure of trafficking as one element of fraud by the retailers, but we really don't know how much fraud there is on the part of the recipients. And that's in part because there are two kinds of fraud that might occur. One is when they're first applying for benefits, if they don't give accurate information and they provide false or misleading information that allows them to receive benefits when they shouldn't. And the second part is when they actually have received their benefits and they're in a store and they and the retailer collaborate together to traffic the benefit.
So it's pretty hard to tell then how much the total level here is. So what are the signs of fraud that the SNAP program tries to follow?
Well, there's a couple different things. When people first apply, the programs, the states have investigators that check the information that they provide, and that might be everything from, are they giving the name of a household member who is actually incarcerated, or are they undercounting the income they have? Those are the kind of things that happen early on with the applications at the front end. And then when they're trafficking, USDA, this program has an interesting structure. USDA is responsible for monitoring the transactions on the part of the retailer, and they would go after a retailer that they saw trafficking, and the states are responsible for recipient trafficking. So one of the indications they might have is if USDA went after a retailer, then they check and see which recipients had been spending their EBT benefits at that store.
Is there data matching on the part of people that apply for the program, say, with federal prison records or with IRS records, such that you can tell if there's felons or people incarcerated or millionaires applying?
Yes, there are a number of different data sets that states are required to use, and they're the kinds of things you were talking about. Are the Social Security numbers that are given of people that are deceased? Are they incarcerated? There are other challenges with that, though, because some of the data that they match against isn't real time. For example, they don't know right away whether somebody is also receiving benefits in another state. So they might find that out later, but by that time, the person may already have been receiving benefits, and that poses another challenge, which is trying to recover those benefits.
We're speaking with Kay Brown, Director of Education, Workforce and Income Security Issues at the GAO. In this latest report, though, you looked at some specific tools, including the Food and Nutrition Services website monitoring tools that they have the states use to see if there is fraud going on, such as multiple cards being issued frequently to the same individual or same entities. And you found that the tools are not all that great.
Yeah, one of the things that we're seeing in this program is that with the increased use of social media and e-commerce and those types of electronic access sites, people are beginning to offer their cards for cash or non-food items online. And USDA has been offering and suggesting some tools to the states in order to try to identify and find those offerings when they happen. What we found was that there's still a long way to go in being able to quickly and easily identify when there's trafficking online like that.
That takes nerve, though, to go onto social media and offer what is clearly and obviously a fraud.
It does, and a lot of those sites are recognizing that, and they're helping USDA by taking those postings down when they see them. But, you know, the other side of that is that someone may not give a phone number. There might be a different way. They may not give their own phone number. There might be a different way to get in touch with them. So the other side, the other challenge with that is it's harder to, it may be hard to pursue these individuals.
And you also found that the states don't really have the personnel often that they need or the budgets they need to really put a full force effort onto this fraud detection.
Right. That was one of the biggest challenges that we found, that we heard from the states, both in monitoring the front-end fraud and also the recipient trafficking, was they have investigators that do the data matching and check the transactions. And it, the state, during the recession, the states, of course, were having their own fiscal challenges, and they may have kept their number of investigators stable or actually decreased them at a time when, as we talked about, the number of recipients increased so dramatically that their workloads increased, and that created a very special challenge for them.
And at the federal level, you have found that the Food and Nutrition Service itself doesn't really have total awareness of what all the state recipients are doing.
Right. The Food and Nutrition Service, I do want to give them credit. They're trying to do a lot of things. They're doing some studies to try to do data analytics and help individual or a small group of states figure out how to get on top of this. But they still have a ways to go on that. And we looked at one of the main reporting tools they have that would allow them to monitor what states are doing, how many investigations, how many program disqualifications, how many prosecutions there were. And we found that that tool didn't really give them a very good idea about what was going on in the states, because the states, the 11 states that we looked at, were all had different ways of interpreting what the questions on the tool were. So they're working to tighten that up.
And so what's the ultimate way out of this?
Well, the ultimate way is to continue to focus on both retailer and recipient trafficking. For years, the focus was on retailers, and it takes two to traffic. So improving the data that's available on the front end is the best idea, because then, you know, we stop the improper use of benefits in the beginning, and if not, focusing on both sides of the trafficking to try to really get a handle on it and stop it from, stop the fraud.
Because sometimes I know the federal officials personally go to different locations and see if they can detect fraud or induce fraud. So they do care about it in a very personal way.
Yes. And, you know, for years, USDA has been focusing on retailer fraud, and they have mountains of data that they look at and different algorithms that they apply to try to identify which retailers are trafficking. And they may send investigators out to actually try to traffic benefits. It's just that as the program grew and it was so huge, anytime you have a program growing that quickly and by that much, it becomes a challenge to stay on top of it.
Kay Brown is Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
You can read her report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.